Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Manning wants to throw. Looking for room. Rerouted and sacked. 55 seconds left. Grady Jarrett got another one. Play fake to Saquon. Eli wants to throw and he'll be sacked. Jack Crawford. Ryan, another play fake. Matt going to gun it deep. Marvin Hall running a blur. Caught it. Touchdown, Atlanta. Janoris Jenkins couldn't get his RPMs up enough to catch Marvin Hall. This is 31 on the near hash. Snap spot. Try is away, and it is good. Manning goes to the gun. Atlanta trying to get there. Pressure coming. Sacked. Tack McKinley. Snap from Harris, spot from Bosher. DeVecchio's kick is away, and it is good. 36-yard try for Rosas. Snap spot, try is away, and it is good. Barkley the lone running back. Manning going to hand him the football, and Barkley shoves it into the end zone, I believe. Yes, they're going to warn him the touchdown before he got turned back. Manning in the gun. Drops back, looks, throws, and it's dropped by Beckham. Alford reached in and somehow scraped it out of there. Manning going to throw, and it is going to be. Is that caught? It is by Beckham against Alford. Snap, spot, kick away. And Tavecchio is perfecto. Bosher will hold. Harris will snap 56 yards. On the far hash, snap spot, try is away, and it is going to be good. Paulson, the tight end to the right, Jones, the receiver to left. Boy, New York's all around the ball. They're going to toss it to Coleman. Tevin cuts back, 20, 15, Coleman, 10, 5, touchdown, Atlanta.
That's us at our best. You've heard us use the term pass the time, which is special teams, to defense, to offense, and those are the moments that we're really trying to lean on to make sure for us to be at our best, all three phases have to nail it.
It is a winning Falcons Tuesday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Falcons Tuesday brought to you by Xfinity. Change the way you experience television with Xfinity X1. Falcons get a huge Monday Night Football win, 23-20 over the New York Giants to go to 3-4. The Falcons, Hugh Douglas, have a win streak going. They've won two in a row going into the bye week. And for the first time probably all year, we imagine there'll be just a few smiles around Flowery Branch.
Ooh, today would be a lot easier. Today is a lot easier. Man, you know, playing against the Giants and winning in that fashion. I mean, winning and being on a winning streak, John, it's the greatest cure for anything that ails you as a football player. Just get a win, man. I mean, you know, it takes that heat off of you. You don't have to answer any crazy questions. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, so many stars last night and so many key moments in this game, and you know, right down to the end, the things that went wrong for both teams. If we just kind of jump to the end of the game, you know, you get down to the final couple of possessions there, and I'm screaming and throwing socks at the television because if I had thrown bricks, I would have busted my big old screen because those two stupid penalties on third down and one pulled the game away. You know, because the Giants didn't have any timeouts, and instead you give them the ball back. Because you can't, you know, get out of your own way on third down and one. The Giants go down the field, and then inexplicably a couple of things happen. A, first off, and you mentioned it earlier, but I think it bears mentioning, that Odell Beckham runs the wrong route.
Yeah.
And then they try and sneak the ball in, and twice with you know, I mean, all the mistakes they made, they go for two, which is odd. And then the whole thing at the end of the game with Eli Manning. And how about the credit for all the sacks, for everything else that went right? How about the interior of the Falcons' defensive line bowing up twice on quarterback sneaks and really salting the game away?
Yeah, yeah. They played big last night, Johnny. You're talking about a defensive line, which I'm pretty sure that they scouted and knew there was a little soft in the middle, or they thought that was a little soft in the middle. For them to come up big in that situation, that says a lot about the resiliency of this defensive line of the Atlanta Falcons. They didn't quit. They didn't quit at all.
Now, Falcons get the victory to go to 3-4 in the year, and we're asking you on our Twitter at 929 the game about this is whether or not these back-to-back wins put the Falcons back into the playoff hunt. You can go to at 929 the game. We're also talking on our Facebook page, but you can vote in our poll. You could say as to whether they're in the playoff hunt. Hell yeah, rise up. No, not even 500 yet, or maybe, but still worried, and you can vote. And we always encourage you as you go to vote to also weigh in and comment. It's one of the ways that you can be involved in the show. And, yes, later in the show we'll open up the phone lines, but this is a great way we talk back and forth and use that as one of our platforms. All right, so the game ends. Falcons win. Into the locker room goes the quarterback, Matt Ryan, after another sterling performance. And Dave Archer caught up with him to talk to number two about this victory.
About our brotherhood, man, how tight we can get.
This is the First and 10 with Dave Archer and Matt Ryan on the home for our Atlanta Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Matt, good win. Anytime you get a win, you guys really had to carve this one out, though. Tough sledding.
Yeah, absolutely. Offensively, it wasn't a rhythm night. It was just kind of a grind. But I'm proud of the way the guys competed, for sure. I thought our defense played really well tonight. Did a great job, kept us in it, you know, yeah. And I'm proud of that. So a good team win. Now time for some rest, which we need.
Yeah, well earned. Run game was tough to get going. You finally, I guess it was kind of one of those, the old Novocaine finally took effect, and you got Tevin Coleman free for the touchdown. Why was it so tough running the football?
They're pretty good up front. Their front seven's, stout. And they had a good game plan for us. It was tough sledding for sure. But that's the thing with the run game. You got to stick with it for those chances that you get the gash. And that was key. Third and one for us to kind of hit that. They sold out, blitzed, had two over the top Julio, no one left on the backside. It was awesome.
Well, and I've mentioned that the play action game is a reason because of that. And I think you were 14 of 15 throwing the ball in play action. That's a benefactor as well.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, when they're committing so many guys to stop the run, the play pass, the play action pass for us is huge. I thought Sark did a great job of dialing that up all night, and I thought our offensive line did a nice job.
Okay, what's next? You mentioned rest. So what does that entail for you and the team?
Yeah, I think, you know, we'll get in there tomorrow, kind of watch this film, and then see what Dan has planned for the week. But, you know, we've had some injuries and those kind of things, and even the guys who have been playing, you know, whenever you can get some rest through this grinder of a season, you need to take advantage of it. So I'm looking forward to it, and I know the rest of our guys are as well.
Well, you've been brilliant for a whole season. Another 31 completions tonight, almost 400 yards and another touchdown. Thanks for your time.
All right, thank you.
That is Dave Archer with Matt Ryan on this Falcons Tuesday from the Kia Studios, John and Hugh. This is a Falcons Tuesday where you can save $50 off a set of four new tires at Kauffman Tire. Falcons score touchdowns in the second and fourth quarters. That means $50 off a set of four new tires today and today only at your local Kauffman Tire retailer. You can find your local retailer at KauffmanTire.com. Kauffman Tire, the official tire retailer of the Atlanta Falcons. A 23-20 win. Matt Ryan has been putting up MVP numbers. Hugh Douglas, he did it again last night, as Dave alluded to there at the end. 31 of 39, 379 yards, one touchdown pass, of course, to Marvin Hall over the top, and no interceptions. In his last five games, there's so many things that Ryan's done. 18 straight completions last night at one point to end the game. 18 straight. He's also set a new team record for most passes attempted in a row without an interception in his last five games, starting with a five-touchdown performance against Stinky Town. Listen to these numbers. 1,475 yards, 13 touchdowns, no interceptions.
You've been balling. There's no question about it. And it's funny, John, because I was just tweeting out to a listener on my man Chris Belcher, and he was talking about how it was the first time that he's heard on television somebody call Matt Ryan elite. And Matt Ryan is a hell of a quarterback. There's no question about that, and he's showing that. And it was kind of cool to start to hear people say that. And then not only that, you're starting to hear analysts talk about why isn't Matt Ryan mentioned in the same voice as these other guys. Because, to be totally honest, I know how people feel in Atlanta. He should be. He should be. When you look at the numbers that he's put up over the years, it's hard not to look at Matt Ryan and say, you know what, he's a pretty damn good quarterback. And then, even last night, when people start talking about, oh, well, he has a noodle arm, boy, he chucked that thing down the field a couple times.
Well, that's 55 yards on the money to Marvin Hall in stride.
He chucked that thing down the field a couple times. So it's one of those things where it's like, what is it about Matt that you don't like? So that's why I said this morning when we started the show, John, just get up this morning, look in the mirror, and just say, I don't like Matt Ryan just because. That's it. Because that's really what it is. I just don't like Matt Ryan. For whatever reason it is, insert reason there. Because to say that he is not a good quarterback is one thing. And I know people are going to say, well, he's not clutch in certain situations and all this other stuff. Man, the dude came up big last night. Came up big last
Again.
Night. He came up big last
night.
Well,
and he's had zero interceptions in five games, which is absolutely insane.
Yeah, 13 touchdowns, no interceptions, 1,470.
He just got to get it. You know what? When Matt Ryan.
That is an incredible stretch.
When he wins, he got to win a Super Bowl, though.
I know.
Because that's the measuring stick for all quarterbacks, except for Eli Manning. Except for Eli. Eli's, like, no matter, Eli won two. And still don't get the respect that he deserves.
You know, so many stars last night for the Falcons in this win. Marvin Hall with that great catch and for the touchdown over the top on that post route where he just ran underneath it, literally caught it at the goal line and walked in the end zone and did a great job. And, of course, Matt Ryan with his game last night. Then you look at the defensive side, Grady Jarrett with two sacks. It was good to see the pressure they were getting. Jack and Tack had sacks. And the job that I think the linebacking core really did an unspokenly great job, Hugh, when you look at Duke Riley, and yes, Duke Riley, and Devondre Campbell. Though if Devondre catches that one interception, how many interceptions have we dropped this year? Oh,
yeah,
my God.
That's coming, though.
But
gang tackling.
Yeah, but the way that those two pursued sideline to sideline, and it was really their responsibility, Aluakin and those guys, to contain Ishmael, to contain Saquon Barkley, and they did. And really that game came down to, yes, there was decisions that were made by the Giants that in terms of timeouts that they didn't have any, and that's why the clock ran down. The Falcons, able to manage to stop Eli a couple of times, set aside the two-point extra point for a second. But really, if you stop and think about it, that game was won and lost on the Falcons' ability to contain Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, I mean, because he was the brightest thing out there. He was the best thing going for them last night. And they were able to hold him to under 100 all-purpose yards, man. So you got to give a shout-out to that defense. Defense looks like it's starting to turn the corner a little bit.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
And that's what they're going to need to do, John. I think a lot of that has to do with their ability to better communicate. That's the biggest thing. Having Grady Jarrett out there and Jack Crawford was huge. And, you know, the elephant in the room, since, you know, everybody's talking about it, is – you know, where was Vic Beasley last night? I've been on this show, and I've said for the last couple of days.
That's what I've been saying.
That Vic Beasley, I don't think that he's held to that. That is not the standard that he's held to. But I'm starting to believe that maybe that's not the case. And as a former defensive lineman, I'm here to tell you, man, looking at that stat sheet, if I'm Vic Beasley, what'd I say?
Vic Beasley.
But if I'm Vic Beasley, I'm looking at that stat sheet, and I'm feeling some kind of way, man. I am truly in my feelings this morning because Grady Jarrett comes back from being banged up. He get him too. Tack's been on a roll all season. And Jack Crawford gets a sack, and I don't show up on the stat sheet. I only got one tackle. Come on, man. Come on, man. I'm the big money guy. I'm the one that got paid. I'm the first rounder. I need to get a part. I need to be a part of this sack party, man. I need to be a part of this sack party. He needs to figure out something because I'm starting to think that the heat's about to be turned up on Vic.
Yeah, well, I really do. Maybe it needs to be. We'll see. $1.6 billion, actually probably more, in the Mega Millions tonight. I can't guarantee you that, but I can guarantee you $1,000 if you text in today.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
Crown, C-R-O-W-N, Crown. By the way, I can't guarantee you $1,000. I mean, you'll have to be randomly selected, but your odds are a heck of a lot better.
They're better than playing a lot.
Mega Millions, C-R-O-W-N, Crown to 72881, Crown to 72881. Message data rates may apply. Do not text and drive. Rules at 99thegame.com/rules. Crown, C-R-O-W-N. Does anybody here remember Crown gasoline stations? When I was 18, I worked at a Crown gasoline station on Memorial Drive between the North Indian Creek and 285. There used to be a Crown gas station down there. Crown gas stations, Hugh, for the old school Atlanta people. What made Crown unique, and it was a chain, it was huge for a while, and then just went kind of up in the air, is that it was all full service.
You mean like up north?
You know,
they pump your gas and all that stuff?
We had like 10 people working. And, I mean, you pulled in and you got like – it was like pit stop time. Somebody was washing. You were on window washer duty or you were on gas duty or you were on tire and oil duty. I mean, that's what you did.
I wasn't thinking Crown gas. I was thinking more like Crown Royal, like, you know, the drink. Crown.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Crown Royal. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Well, it's okay. Crown, and you could be a king, too. We're talking about the Falcons on a Falcons Tuesday, and my beard itches so bloody bad, and I'm gonna be
He's not going to make it.
Yeah, I have to make
He's
it now.
Not going
to
make it.
I'm committed to it.
You're not committed to that beard, John.
You know?
You're not committed. It's too merch for you.
Because the game ends, and I'm going to bed last night, and the real estate maven looks at me, and she goes, "Now, wait, what is this now?
You're not going to make it, John."
I said, she goes, "When do you shave this off?" And I said, "Well, after they lose." She goes, "Well, when do they play again?" I said, "Well, in 2 weeks against
John,
the Redskins." She goes,
"I can tell the way. I can tell
weeks.
The way that you were itching this morning. You adopted this beard game. I was born in it. You ain't going to make it."
You were born with a beard?
I was born with a beard. You know, that's the main line. You remember, you adopted the dark. I was born in it. You didn't catch it, John. Forget it. You just blew it. But the point is this. You're not going to make it.
I got to make
no,
it.
No, you're
now.
Not going to make
committed
it,
committed to it.
John, we were sitting here talking.
I'm 2-0 in the rally rise up.
John, we were sitting here talking in the break, and you couldn't even talk because you was itching. Your face was itching so
Man,
bad.
It is itching.
You ain't going to make it.
This is
by
the end
of the week.
Rally beard.
I give you by the end of the week.
It's unbeaten.
We need to do another poll. When does John cut his beard? Friday?
If I shave Tuesday. If I shave my beard before Washington and they lose, then it's my fault.
No.
You have to understand this.
He ain't going to make it. Wendy, John is not going to make it to Thanksgiving. John is not going
to
make it to next week.
I have
watch
to.
Him. I tell you what.
I got to take one for the team.
No, watch him. Just watch him in the break. Look, every 2 seconds, he's scratching his face. He's not going to make it to Friday. It's driving him crazy.
It is driving me crazy, but I got
to. You ain't going to make it, John. You ain't going to make it. I have no faith in you with this beard thing. None.
There's huge news in the NFL. A big trade to Dallas, and Kirby Smart talks about Georgia, Florida. We have both these big stories coming up next. It is a Falcons Tuesday from the Kia Studios with John and Hugh. Falcons winning last night, 23-20. We'll get back to our discussion on the Falcons coming up at the top of the hour. Dave Archer will join us live, and we'll talk to Arch about what he saw last night at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. But let's take a little bit of a moment to talk a little bit about some college football here. The College Football Notebook, it is football season. That means tailgating, a true Southern tailgate, not complete without Dixie Vodka. Visit DixieVodka.com. Dixie Vodka, made in America and by God raised in the South. All right, here's what we've got for college football from a local standpoint this week. You know, you have Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech, Thursday night, Blacksburg, Virginia. For the Jackets, a critical game. If they want to make a bowl game this year, almost need to go on the road and beat a Virginia Tech team that's kind of been Dow Jones all year. A little up and down for Virginia Tech. Maybe take advantage of that and get a win on the road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no question about that, John. You're talking about a team that you could, on paper, it looks like you match up with pretty good. You could potentially beat. They got to go out there and get the job done.
So a couple of games of note on Thursday night, Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech. Also, Georgia Southern, which is off to a 6-1 start and apparently headed to a bowl game for the Eagles, will play a gigantic game at home in Statesboro against Appalachian State. Hugh, Appalachian State is ranked. They're number 25
in
the
AP
poll.
I saw that. But Appalachian State, man, Appalachian State has had athletes there for a few years to come. Now, I mean, this shouldn't be something new to people because they've knocked off some pretty big teams in the past.
There are people whispering that there's an outside chance that if Appy runs the table.
Nah, John, let's stop that.
No. Listen, if Appy runs the table, they could end up being that team that goes to a major bowl game.
Okay, a bowl game. I thought we were talking about a college team.
No. Yeah. Remember they lost to Penn State.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
So they're not unbeaten. But they could end up going to a major bowl game, like the Orange Bowl. Well, it's not the Orange Bowl. It's a semifinal game. But maybe you could end up at the Sugar Bowl or something this year if you're Appalachian State. On Saturday, Kennesaw State, number 2 ranked team in 1AA, will play at Charleston Southern. Georgia State will host Coastal Carolina. We'll talk to Sean Elliott coming up in about 20 minutes, the head coach of Georgia State. And, of course, all of it boils down to a big national game, CBS 330 on Saturday. Florida, Georgia.
Florida is here.
And Jacksonville, as we get.
I wonder if Wendy's going. Wendy, you going to the game?
I am not. You get tickets for me, Hugh?
No, you don't have to go to tickets. It's a tailgate. It's the largest tailgate ever.
Yeah. Just get on there. You're Wendy Adams. You know what? You get out there and flirt around with those Florida guys. You'll be in.
Did you say Wendy's not? She's not flirty. Don't put that on Wendy like
that.
You
don't
know me. Cool. Oh, my bad. My bad. Wendy is flirty.
Hey, I told you.
No, I just come to work. I'm just nobody.
I don't, man,
don't be depressed.
You can't win. I don't know what to say after that.
Kirby Smart, the head coach of the Georgia Dogs, talking about the importance of this game.
They know what's at stake for this game, and they know that this is going to be a physical, tough battle. Two teams that are well coached and two talented teams. Most of our kids know their kids. It won't be about what we say or how we say it. It'll be about who plays well on the field and who controls the line of scrimmage will be a key to this game.
Yeah, it is a key game, boy. Man, the East title isn't exactly on the line because there's another team from a basketball school north
Kentucky.
Of us that is having a pretty good year and has already done beat Florida. But having said that, it is a gigantic game, and the loser is pretty much OUT, let's put it that way.
The largest cocktail party in ever. I'm pretty sure that there are a lot of Georgia alumni that are going to go down there to that game. A lot of Florida alumni are going to be there. I see some of the pictures of the game. It's a great time, man, on both sides. So it's going to be one of those physical confrontations. And people are feeling, as far as Florida's concerned, from what the coach is talking about, they're feeling like these are days of old.
Mm-hmm.
So this game is going to be ramped up. And then Georgia coming off of that loss that they just had to LSU. This game is important to both of these sides because they want to keep their college football hopes alive.
Yeah, the SEC is going to be marquee, Hugh, because Florida, Georgia this week, and then, of course, LSU and Alabama, not this week, but next week.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's going to be the SEC is going to be grabbing headlines across America in this incredible race for the SEC championship. And, again, the winner isn't necessarily in because even if Florida wins, they have that loss to Kentucky, and they're going to have Kentucky lose again and Florida win out. So if you're Kentucky, you're rooting for Florida. That puts you in the driver's seat.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. But, you know, Kentucky, for them they have to handle their – they got to go out there and they got to handle their business as well. They got Missouri this week.
Mm-hmm.
They got Missouri this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
So, you know the thing about Kentucky that kind of makes me a little nervous is that they're sitting in a real good spot right now. And you look at that Missouri team, and that just might be
snatch
the week. Yeah, man.
Yeah. That could happen.
Yeah.
That could. All right, so, again, that's a lot of college football. And as we progress through the week and count down to Florida, Georgia, certainly, detail coverage as we get ready for this gigantic game down in Jacksonville between these two top 10 teams all week long. But let's get you rolling back into, and we'll get back into college football throughout the week here, but we got to get back into the NFL because there's so much going on the heels of the Falcons' win last night. We're going to switch back to the NFL just to bring you up to speed on a couple of stories. Let's begin with there was a gigantic trade yesterday in the NFL. You need to know something. A week from today is a really big day. Next Tuesday, it is the first day of the college football playoff committee poll, when it comes out, and it's also the NFL's in-season trade deadline. So we have a week to go here. Potential trades in the NFL, and there's rumors flying all over the place. The Oakland Raiders throw up the white flag and quit on the season yesterday, trading Amari Cooper to the Dallas Cowboys. But you know what? They got a number one pick, a number one.
Yeah, but you still have to – you got to know how to pick them, John. You got three – like right now, I think as it sits – the Raiders have three number one picks. They have three number one picks. You got to pick the right guys. And like we talked about yesterday, John, it's easy. It should be easy to pick number one overall talent because everybody's scouting and we've all seen it. It's those later picks that you have to score on. This is the thing that gets me about John Gruden. And if I'm wrong, Raider fans, anybody that's listened to this radio show, please correct me. But I vividly remember him doing Raider games and talking about how great this team was and how great the roster is and the talent all around the place. You traded away half your talent.
You traded away Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper.
And you are the head coach. Like, you were an analyst first, and you were one of the best analysts that did it on the air. And you go to a team that you gushed over. You put the running back, Beast Mode, you put him on IR. You put him on.
He's got that Dick Bosa thing, the groin.
You got the groin injury. You put him on.
No
Marshawn Lynch.
And he's probably done in Oakland.
Your quarterback is having issues. The quarterback that you were gushing over. I remember this game. I think it was Denver. No, it was Kansas City,
mm-hmm.
Oakland when they played.
Right.
And how he was gushing over this Oakland team. But you traded everybody away, and now there's rumors out there, talk that Reggie McKenzie, you're trying to push him out. Because at one time, Reggie McKenzie was saying that Amari Cooper was untradeable.
Well, guess what? traded him.
He traded him.
And by the way, the Raiders players found out. Coach didn't tell him.
Yeah.
They found out by text.
Well, that's the thing. The only person that I would say that he should have told, if we're going there, is the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Like, him and the quarterback probably should have had a conversation, and he told the quarterback what he was thinking about doing. Everybody else, man, that's on a need-to-know basis.
All right, so this is how it affects the Falcons, because remember, you know, the bye week coming up, we're going to play Washington, and then you play Cleveland, and then then come Dallas. Now, Amari Cooper is going to have to show out. He has not exactly been an elite wide receiver the last couple of years. Got off to a great start, but he's really kind of been okay the last couple of years. Here he goes in. This is all about saving Dak Prescott's job and Jason Garrett's job.
They need a deep threat.
Yep.
They need a deep threat. And what they went out and did, is the Dallas Cowboys, that is, they've given Jason Garrett that deep threat that they say that they need, and now he has to make hay with that. And if he doesn't, he's been on a little bit of scrutiny. He's been on a lot of scrutiny,
mm-hmm,
with some of his play calling, and I don't think that him and Jerry Jones are on the same page. So, yeah, he definitely has to make hay. And the Dallas Cowboys are probably looking at it like, when you look at the division being what it is, they're looking at it like they should be the team that comes out of the East.
All right, you have the superstar quarterback. Here's another one. Quarterback Patrick Peterson. Arizona Cardinals are a bowl of suck, okay? He wants out. He wants to go play for –
adamantly.
Adamantly. He has said, I want out, out, out. Now, Steve Wilks, the head coach at Arizona, is saying, I don't know about that. But Peterson is openly saying, I want a trade right now.
And he
wants
to go to the Saints, correct?
And, yes, according to all of his people, he wants to go to Stinky Town, which would be bad news for us. I mean, we don't want him to go to Stinky Town.
Why would it be bad news for us? Didn't Julio work him like a shift before? Julio worked him like a shift one time before. Patrick Peterson, I do, mm-hmm, remember that,
yeah,
because Patrick called Julio out.
Yes,
he called
did.
Him off the porch. And Julio took his lunch money.
Mm-hmm.
He took his lunch money. So, yeah, I wouldn't too much worry about that.
But he's not going to be the first here. You're going to start seeing a lot of guys who want to play for a ring who are going to start. I mean, they see what's going on in college football, a little kind of, you know, one-man free agency thing here before the trade deadline. I think you're going to see more than just Patrick Peterson raise their hand on bad teams, Hugh, and say, I want to trade. I think you're going to start seeing this.
I think the biggest thing about this whole trade thing is, John, that you're seeing teams do it. I remember when I was in the league, the trade deadline came and went. Nothing happened.
Nothing ever happened.
Nobody,
right?
Very, very rarely guys got traded. You're starting to see that a lot more in this NFL. And not only that, look, think about it like this. The longevity of players that are still pretty good. Dez Bryant still does not have a job.
Right, exactly.
In the NFL. Dez Bryant is under, if I'm not mistaken, is under 10 years in the NFL. He hasn't played 10 years. This is the NFL that we're a part of now, is that guys don't play it. Like, to have 10-year vested veterans,
mm-hmm,
they're not going to see too many of those anymore.
One name to watch this week, Le'Veon Bell. What happens with Le'Veon Bell? It is a Falcons Tuesday. Falcons Tuesday powered by Xfinity. Xfinity X1. Change the way you experience TV with Xfinity X1. Next up, we'll talk a little college football again. We'll swing back into it and talk college football with the head coach of the Georgia State Panthers, Sean Elliott. That's next on The Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is a Falcons Tuesday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Falcons Tuesday powered by Xfinity. Let Xfinity X1 change the way you experience TV. Well, we experienced a lot of good TV, or if you were at the game in person last night, with the Atlanta Falcons knocking off the New York Giants 23-20. Coming up at the top of the hour, Dave Archer will join us live and we'll get his thoughts on what he saw from his vantage point at MBS yesterday. But let's first talk a little college football as we get ready for the week ahead. And we welcome into the program, the waitfor.com hotline, the head coach of the Georgia State Panthers, Sean Elliott. Morning to you, Coach.
Coach, good morning.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. Coach, I'm curious. Do you get a chance with the season going on? Do you get a chance to watch Monday Night Football? And if you do, what did you think about that game last night?
You know, to tell you the truth, I very rarely get a chance to watch any of the NFL. It's just, you know, I'll catch a highlight here and there. But I woke up this morning, I had to look and see if the Falcons won or not.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, that's a long day, especially when you got to get ready for an early game this season. Was it Thursday? Another Thursday night game?
No, they got Saturday, 2 o'clock.
Okay, got Saturday. Okay, yeah.
We actually get to play on Saturday this time.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, but it's, Coach, you know, you've been playing on Thursday so much. I thought that was kind of like your normal time slot.
Somebody asked me the other day, they said, do y'all always play on Thursday? I said, well, it sure does feel like that. So we've had a few Thursday night games, a Friday night game, and it's going to be good to be back on a normal schedule.
It will be Saturday at 2 o'clock at GSU Stadium, Georgia State against Coastal Carolina, and the Chanticleers coming into town. Coach, last year, you know, you had the team kind of rally late in the season. You make this rally, you get to a bowl game, and, of course, you won the Cure Bowl, beating Western Kentucky. If you're going to rally and make a bowl game this year, and you could, if you're going to rally and make a bowl game this year, what is like the one or two things that this team is going to have to do better starting right now in order for that rally to happen?
I think we're going to have to shore up some run defense. I mean, we're giving up way too many big plays in the run game, and it's really just it's killing us, to tell you the truth. We had 13 missed tackles for 133 yards a week ago on Thursday night, and that's something we can't happen. So we got to shore up our tackling, and we've got to make sure we got to stop the run.
You know, Coach, you've been pretty good offensively in certain areas. Quarterback's been playing pretty good, but the fumbles have been killing you. What can you do in practice to help kind of, you know, correct that mistake, those mistakes?
Yeah, you know, you got to go through the process. When I say the process, you got to we do live tackling, so we're really concentrating on keeping the ball in their hands. I mean, how they're carrying it, where it's high and tight, you know, 3 points of contact, and we just got to really stress it. I mean, those fumbles have killed us. I mean, last week I think there was 3 or 4 on the ground, and you certainly just can't have that. I mean, it's unacceptable. But we've got to improve. Our running backs have got to improve in that area, and they've got to understand the importance of that football. I mean, when you name the game after the ball, that's a pretty important thing. And we've got to make sure those turnovers do not occur.
Talking with Sean Elliott, head coach of the Georgia State Panthers. They're back at home Saturday, 2 p.m., against Coastal Carolina. You know, Coastal's an interesting team, Coach. They, you know, like Georgia State, I mean, they elevate from 1AA. They had a lot of success down at the 1AA level, the FCS level. Now they come up here. What can you tell us about this Chanticleer team that you're seeing that we can expect on Saturday?
Well, I mean, offensively, they're a triple option team. I mean, that's out of the gun. When I say gun, triple option, they do a lot of load options, a lot of zone options. I mean, very, very multidimensional in their option game. So we're going to have to be very, very good on the perimeter, forcing with our safeties coming in there and understanding our assignments and doing the things necessary to keep them ahead of us. They have an opportunity to be really explosive. They sure do. They've been recruiting well, and they've got the players to go out there and make a difference. You know, defensively, they're pretty good defensively, but I mean, nothing unusual. Not like a triple option offense. I mean, they're a 4-man front, and they're gonna do the things they do. But ultimately, I mean, they're gonna come out here. They got a little bit of momentum. They beat UMass a week ago, and up at their place, so they've got a little momentum coming in our game. I think they're 4-3 at this moment. And I'm certainly understanding that their coach is telling, hey, we need to go get this win. We need to push for this bowl game. So we need to expect a great fight out of this group come Saturday, because they're going to come in here ready to play.
Again, at 2 o'clock next Saturday at GSU Stadium. Does it help you, Coach Elliott, that you've already faced? Because a lot of times, you know, teams will get up into a game where you're facing a team that runs this offense. You haven't seen it all year. You have. You saw it in the opener against Kennesaw State. So, I mean, does it help that you've already seen it once?
Well, it's a little bit different. I mean, they're running out of the gun where Kennesaw's underneath, and it's true double slot option game, veer and things of that nature. So it's a little bit different. I mean, their vertical passing game is a little bit, I'd say, more in tune to traditional offenses. So it does help in our assignments. I mean, we have to understand who takes the dive in the midline, who has the quarterback, and who has the pitch. So it is certainly going to help us in that aspect.
You know what, Coach? I was just about to ask you like that. It's been a long time since I had to defend against a triple option, but are the responsibilities still the same? The quarterback has the pitch man, and the outside linebacker has the the defensive end has the quarterback, and the outside linebacker has the pitch man. Or do you kind of switch it up according to what formation that you see?
Yeah, you're gonna have to do some switching up. And you know, we're a 3-4 defense, so there's gonna be a lot of variations. Who has the quarterback? Whether it's the midline or load option, so. There's a lot of variations that go into it. We have to be really, really sound on what we're doing, because the thing about it, you know, if you're out of responsibility, or if you got your eyes in the wrong place, and that thing is going to hit for big yardage.
Yeah, I used to hate playing against that, because to your point, the responsibilities change per the formation that they line up in and who's
That's
closer
right.
to who.
You know,
so, yeah.
You know good and well how hard it is to defend.
Man, I hated that.
Georgia State head coach Sean Elliott on the morning show with John and Hugh on this Falcons Tuesday, talking about GSU's 2 o'clock home game Saturday against Coastal Carolina. There's another game coming up on Thursday night that's big in your conference, Georgia Southern hosting Appalachian State. Now, I know that, you know, you kind of just kind of keep it, hey, you know, who's going to kind of win that game, because you're both in your, obviously, in your, not only in your conference, but in your division. And I know that you worry about your team, coach, but does it help that, you kind of get a little bit of a lead on both those teams, and that the that Appalachian's ranked and that the Sun Belt's getting a little bit of recognition too?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's an exciting ball game. I mean, to be on Thursday night, Appalachian's just been ranked for the first time in school history. You know, I'm an app grad, so I'm certainly got a little bit of interest in that. So, I think it's good for our conference. I think it's good for overall in general, and it makes for a pretty good Thursday night. You know, to watch two of our East Conference teams right here go head to head, and you get kind of a heads up on seeing them play a little bit.
Well, you're the big game in town on Saturday. Tech plays on the road on Thursday night. Georgia's down in Florida. So you got to get the stage here as you host Coastal Carolina at 2 o'clock on Saturday. So good chance for the fans to come out. Should be a nice, cool, kind of perfect fall afternoon for football, Coach.
It's about time the fall weather's come. We played last Thursday night, and it was just perfect. And this Saturday's going to be the same thing. I mean, maybe a little overcast early, but the sun's going to come out. It's going to be a great day for football, and we're excited about having it. It's our homecoming here at Georgia State. So we're hoping to have a big crowd out there, guys come out, and they haven't been here in a while, and really see a good ball game, and see us go out there and get the win versus Coastal Carolina.
Oh, head coach, like the kids say, turn up.
Let's hope so.
Turn up, turn out, too. Coach, thanks for taking a few minutes, and we look forward to the game on Saturday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Thanks.
Hey, y'all have a great day. Always great to talk with y'all.
You too, Coach.
Sean Elliott, head coach of the Georgia State Panthers. And, yes, Appalachian State is ranked. So happy into the top 25 in the new AP poll. And that is big for the Sun Belt Conference to get that kind of national recognition. And that game on Thursday in Statesboro is huge because Georgia Southern 6-1, they're also getting votes too on top of that.
That's good. That's good. Hopefully somebody, you know, would probably – far-fetched, but, you know, somebody gets some nice rankings so they get a nice bowl game.
Yeah, real nice bowl games.
App State look like that might be, like to your point, John, that might be the game. That might be the team.
Might be the team. Dave Archer going to join us live next. We'll talk with the Dave about the game last night, what he saw from a Falcons win on Monday Night Football. That's next on a Falcons Tuesday with John and Hugh from the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92 on the Game.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.